I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
What's up, my friend? You are listening to Real English Radio. I'm your host, Tony Kaizen. And in this episode, you're going to hear an interesting story about a time when a very thoughtful and dedicated man decided to go above and beyond for a few of his customers. The man in the audio clip you're about to hear is Mr. Will Widara. I hope I pronounced that correctly. And he's a restaurateur, or an owner and operator of restaurants, from Sleepy Hollow, New York, which is about 30 miles north of New York City. And he's the former owner of the world-famous restaurant 11 Madison Park. Now, in the clip, Will tells an interesting story about the moment he realized the power of great hospitality. So first, I'll play the clip from start to finish, and then we'll go back so I can explain a few key words and phrases. A few key words and phrases to make sure you understand everything and you can leave with something interesting to think about. All right, let's do it.
For nearly a decade, I owned and operated a restaurant called 11 Madison Park. By the time I sold it at the beginning of 2020, it had been named the number one restaurant in the world. I found myself clearing appetizers from a table of four foodies on vacation to New York. I overheard them talking. We've been to all the best restaurants. Yeah, but the only thing we didn't get to try was a New York City hot dog. I walked gracefully back into the kitchen, dropped off the plates, and then literally ran out the front door and down the block to the hot dog cart. I bought a hot dog and ran just as fast back into the kitchen. He agreed to cut the hot dog up into four perfect pieces, adding a little swish of ketchup and a swish of mustard onto each plate, and finishing them with a quenelle of sauerkraut and a quenelle of relish. We brought them their hot dog. They freaked out. Up until then, I had been so focused on excellence that I somehow hadn't realized that in restaurants, our reason for being is to make people feel seen. It's to make them feel welcome. It's to give them a sense of belonging. The food, the service, the design, they're simply ingredients in the recipe of human connection. That is hospitality.
All right, my friend, as I say in every single episode, don't feel bad if you couldn't understand everything that was being said. This is another one of those clips where the actual speech was a bit slower and easier to follow, but somebody removed all of the moments of silence in between words and sentences, so it sounds like it's coming much faster than it actually was. I hope that makes sense. Either way, don't worry, don't stress about it. We're going to go back. I'll break it down into pieces for you so you can understand everything that's being said. All right, here we go.
For nearly a decade, I owned and operated a restaurant called 11 Madison Park. By the time I sold it at the beginning of 2020, it had been named the number one restaurant in the world. I found myself clearing appetizers from a table of four foodies on vacation to New York.
All right, so let me stop here. The first thing I want to explain is appetizers. An appetizer is a small dish or some kind of snack that's served before the main course of a meal. So if you go to a restaurant, at least here in the States, it's pretty common before you order your actual meal, they'll ask you, can I start you off with an appetizer? And that could be like some nachos or mozzarella sticks or chips and salsa or something like that, just like finger food that you can eat while you wait for your actual meal to be prepared. That's an appetizer, something that probably increases your appetite for the meal that's coming after that. I don't know if that's why they call it appetizer, but it makes sense to me. I don't know about you. Anyway, that's an appetizer. So he said, I was clearing appetizers when I, what did you say? When from a table of four foodies on vacation to New York. So clearing appetizers, what you can imagine is the waiter removing the plates and the cups and the forks and everything from the table. He was clearing the table after this, after a group of people had finished eating, right? So he was clearing this table of appetizers from a table of four foodies on vacation to New York. And a foodie is just somebody who has a strong interest in food and they really enjoy trying new dishes and flavors and foods from different cultural backgrounds. They just love food. They're in love with food. That's a foodie, okay? So he was clearing appetizers from the table of four foodies on vacation in New York, and he overheard them talking. Now, to overhear someone means to accidentally hear someone's conversation without being part of that conversation. So you can imagine this guy's clearing a table and maybe just to his side, these four people are talking and they're not talking to him. He's not involved in the conversation. He can just, he's so close that he can hear everything they're saying. He's overhearing them. He's not intentionally trying to. It's just that he's so close, he hears them. So that's what he means when he says, I overheard them talking. Now the opposite, or I guess I shouldn't say opposite, but another version of that is something called eavesdropping. So to eavesdrop is almost the same thing, except you're doing it intentionally. So imagine when you're a kid, your parents are in another room and they're talking about something private or something serious or whatever. They don't want you to hear what they're saying. But you stand just on the other side of the corner. You're right around the corner from their room. They can't see you. You can't see them, but you can hear everything they're saying. And you're intentionally listening to hear every word. That's eavesdropping. You're intentionally listening to somebody else's conversation, even though you know they don't want you to hear it. And you're trying to keep it a secret. That's eavesdropping. But unintentionally, just because you happen to be in the area, you're close enough to hear them, that's just overhearing someone, okay? All right, I hope that's clear. Make sure you rewind that and write that down because those are actually important words, you know? But anyway, let's continue, my friend. So let me just say it one more time. He's working at this restaurant. He's clearing appetizers from this table and he hears the foodies talking about, I guess, their experience in New York, okay? So let's take it from there.
I found myself clearing appetizers from a table of four foodies on vacation to New York. I overheard them talking. We've been to all the best restaurants. Yeah, but the only thing we didn't get to try was a New York City hot dog.
All right, so just in case that part is confusing, when he says, I overheard them talking, the next thing he says was, the next thing he said was, we've been to all the best restaurants. Yeah, but the only thing we didn't get to try was a New York City hot dog. So you can't see him, so it might not be as clear, but he's quoting someone else. He's repeating what he heard the people at the table saying. They were saying, man, we've been to all the best restaurants. And another person at the table said, yeah, but the only thing we didn't get to try was a New York City hot dog. That's what he heard them say, okay? Just wanted to make that clear. Let's continue.
I overheard them talking. We've been to all the best restaurants. Yeah, but the only thing we didn't get to try was a New York City hot dog. I walked gracefully back into the kitchen, dropped off the plates, and then literally ran out the front door and down the block to the hot dog cart. I bought a hot dog and ran just as fast back into the kitchen.
All right, let me stop it there because there's quite a few things to explain. The first one, he said, I walked gracefully back to the kitchen. And I don't know if he's joking or not, but just so you know, gracefully just means in a smooth, elegant, controlled manner. And I guess considering the fact that Elevison, I can't fucking talk today, bro. What the fuck? 11 Madison Park, the restaurant where he worked, or I guess he was an owner there as well. This restaurant is like high class and fine dining. So I can actually imagine him walking gracefully back to the kitchen, you know, because it's fine dining and you want to look graceful and elegant as somebody working at the restaurant. So he walked back to the kitchen. He dropped off the plates. And that's what I wanted to explain as well. To drop something off means to leave something or someone at a specific location. Like often you'll hear people say, I dropped my kids off at school, or I'll drop you off at work. Just means I'll leave you at this particular location. Now, in this case, he's talking about the dishes. So it's not the most common thing to say, I dropped off the plates. You know what I mean? It does make sense. He dropped the plates off in the kitchen, but you might just be wondering why not just say, I left the plates in the kitchen. And you could say that. There'd be nothing wrong with that. Both of them, to me, sound relatively natural. I went back to the kitchen, I left the plates, or I dropped off the plates. Either one is fine, just so you know. And then he literally ran out the front door, down the block to a hot dog cart. He bought a hot dog, and he ran back just as fast. And just as fast, or just as slow, or just as happy, or just as dumb, it means at an equal level. So he ran out to the cart super fast, and then he ran back at the same speed. That's what he means when I ran back just as fast. All right? Let's continue.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Dropped off the plates and then literally ran out the front door and down the block to the hot dog cart. I bought a hot dog and ran just as fast back into the kitchen. He agreed to cut the hot dog up into four perfect pieces, adding a little swish of ketchup and a swish of mustard onto each plate.
All right, let me just explain the word swoosh. If you think about this visually, if you imagine the Nike check, some people call it the Nike check, other people call it the Nike swoosh. And so if you look at the shape of the Nike logo, let's say, that shape is like a swoosh. So if you imagine mustard and ketchup on a plate in that shape, then you can imagine what he's talking about. A little swoosh of mustard and a swoosh of ketchup. Because when you go to like these fine dining restaurants, food is not just food, it's like art, right? So they decorate the plates and they put the mustard and ketchup and relish and condiments on the plate in a particular artistic way with swooshes and lines and circles and curves and stuff like that. So that's what he's describing. He took this $2 New York street cart hot dog, brought it back into the fine dining restaurant, asked the chef to cut it into four perfect pieces, adding little swooshes of ketchup and swooshes of mustard to make it look more elegant, right? Because remember, it's fine dining. Hopefully that makes sense. I just wanted to try my best to make that clear, but let's continue.
A little swoosh of ketchup and a swoosh of mustard onto each plate, and finishing them with a canal of sauerkraut and a canal of relish. We brought them their hot dog. They freaked out.
Okay, so again, he's just talking about he went to go get the hot dog and then he brought it into the restaurant, made it look all elegant, and he brought the four foodies their hot dog, and they freaked out. They freaked out. And this, to freak out can mean, it's really the same thing in every context, but the emotion you're feeling might be different, because to freak out means to become extremely upset or mad or angry or extremely scared or extremely excited. It just depends on the context. In this context, we have to assume that they were excited, right? They were just talking about the fact that they didn't get to try a New York hot dog. So he ran out the door to go get one, came back and decorated the shit, made it look all elegant, and he brought them their hot dog. And so you can imagine how excited and surprised in a pleasant way that they were. That wasn't the best sentence. You can imagine how excited or surprised they were, or pleasantly surprised they were. Anyway, let's continue, man.
Hot dog. They freaked out. Up until then, I had been so focused on excellence that I somehow hadn't realized that in restaurants, our reason for being is to make people feel seen. It's to make them feel welcome. It's to give them a sense of belonging. The food, the service, the design, they're simply ingredients in the recipe of human connection. That is hospitality.
Our one last thing I wanted to explain was up until then. This phrase is used to refer to a period of time before a specific moment or event. So let me go back to his actual words. Up until then, I had been so focused on excellence that I somehow hadn't realized that in restaurants, our reason for being is to make people feel seen. So when he says up until then, he's saying all the time before that moment when I brought them the hot dog and I saw their reaction. Up until that moment, or all the time of my life before that moment, I had a different mentality. I had a different understanding of this thing. And then when that moment happened, when I experienced that, everything changed. So I believe this and I thought this up until, bam, this specific thing happened. So hopefully you can see the phrase up until then is just referencing the fact that right before this moment I'm talking about now, everything was different. I really hope that makes sense. And everything else in that part of the clip, I believe, or I hope you could follow. But as you might know, you can subscribe on Patreon to get access to the transcript and vocabulary guide for these episodes. So if you want to read every word and see all the explanations and example sentences and stuff like that, then click the link in the description and subscribe on Patreon. All right. But now, my friend, I just want to leave you with a few things to think about or write about or talk about in your next conversation. And the first question I have for you to think about is, how does the level of genuine human connection in a restaurant or service-oriented business affect customer loyalty and the overall success of the establishment? So even if you put yourself in that situation, how important is it to you that the people working at a restaurant or the people performing some service for you make you feel connected in some way? How important is that feeling of hospitality and service? How does that influence your loyalty to that brand or that company? That's what I want you to ask yourself. The second thing I want you to think about is, how can the concept of hospitality be applied beyond the restaurant industry, potentially enhancing the experience for clients, customers, or even coworkers in other fields? Maybe you're an accountant and you work for a tech company. Or maybe you work in a warehouse, or you work, I don't know what you do, but just think about other industries outside of the typical ones. Don't think about hotels and restaurants, because they're known for trying to create a hospitable experience. But how can we apply this concept of really considering people around us and trying to make them feel more welcome, make them feel seen and appreciated? How could we apply that in other industries? How could you apply that in what you do every day? Okay. Another thing you should consider is, what are the skills needed to foster meaningful connections and make others feel seen and valued? And how can individuals in various industries develop those skills? So this is kind of like a continuation of the last question, right? How can we apply hospitality to other industries? And now the question is, what skills do you need to apply that hospitality? And how can we develop those skills? Think about it. And lastly, in a rapidly changing world where technology plays an increasingly significant role in our daily lives, what actions can individuals and businesses take to preserve and promote the value of human connection? I'm sure you know, like I know, that more and more it seems like people are walking around like fucking zombies with their phones in their faces, and we're kind of slowly losing our humanity, and human connection just doesn't seem to be as important. And I'm generalizing, obviously not everyone behaves that way, but I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. So in this world, with these changes that we can't stop, it's not like we can't stop the world from changing or evolving. How do we adapt? What actions can we, or what actions can businesses take to preserve and promote the value of human connection? How can we integrate technology as opposed to letting it take over, you know, the way that we interact and do things. Hopefully that makes sense. All right. But just four interesting things to think about, write about, or talk about in your next conversation. I'd just like to remind you that after listening to these episodes, you really should think, write, and talk about these subjects, because you will improve your comprehension of the English language by listening to this podcast. You might learn a bunch of new things because I talk about all kinds of different subjects. But if you're not writing and speaking about them, it's going to be hard to remember these topics or the words and phrases that you learned when you were listening. You've got to use it or you're going to lose it, right? Because input is fantastic. You need it to learn new things and to get used to the language, but you also need output. So listen to an episode and then write about it, or listen to an episode and then talk about it. If your goal is really to speak English confidently, naturally, proficiently, perfectly, you'll never speak it perfectly, but you get what I'm trying to say. If that's really your goal, make sure you are writing and speaking every single day. All right. But that's it for now, my friend. I want to thank you for your time and your attention. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Real English Radio. I'm your host, Tony Kaizen, and I'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.